On today's episode, we talk a little bit about Arsenal's big win. I'm here. We're going to talk about it. Also, Carter and Krishna are here, so we're going to talk about Tottenham losing, and we're going to talk about Everton losing. What a rough week for everyone but me. We'll talk about Christian Pulisic. He's doing good.
All right. We love the trifecta. Also, we're going to be joined by Wissa Vasquez and Amy Lopez of Think Fuera. We're going to be talking about El Tráfico, our football, Mexican soccer, a lot of fun stuff. So all this and more today on The Cooligans.
Quick story. I'm driving this weekend, Saturday. I'm on a one-way, one-lane street in Brooklyn. To the left of me, bike lane.
Gotcha.
To the right of me, parked cars. Only one car in front of me. As we're driving, it was an Uber, by the way. We pull up to an area. You know where like those gaps where there's like no one parked for like six car lengths, right? You got like a hydrant, maybe like a truck loading only.
Yeah, yeah.
So you got this big gap. Instead of pulling off inside, he just stops dead in the middle of the street.
Okay.
Right? Bike lane to the left, open space to the right.
This is in your neighborhood.
This is in my neighborhood.
Got it, got it.
It's on the way to the bridge.
Got it, yeah.
So, of course, just stops cold, like as if the car just shut off. So I think to myself, oh, something must be wrong with the car. He's not dropping somebody. Why would you drop somebody off in the middle of the street? There's a bike lane to your left and there's no one parked on the right. So I go to go around it. As I'm going around it, I hear thunk. And I realize that someone had swung open the door and completely swiped off my side mirror.
Get out of here.
Just plastic everywhere. Just mirror and plastic everywhere.
That's not easy to do that. You have to open a door with a fair amount of force.
Well,
to not,
you know how like your car, it would collapse in.
Yeah, yeah, right? That's right.
But you know cars that are only driven by motor, I can't push my mirror in.
Okay, okay.
It's only by motor, so it was like locked open.
Gotcha.
Like if it was the regular car, I would have just slammed closed. I'd have a couple scratches. Mm-hmm. No. I'm picking plastic off the street. I get out of the car very angry.
Of course.
And my wife's like, you're kind of on TV. You
can't just.
And I was like, oh, yeah. I can't be on a dash cam yelling at this guy whose last name has 48 syllables and he has a very thick Russian accent.
Right, right, right.
You know, I can't do that. So I was just like, what the hell, man, is all I could say. Obviously, I didn't use the word hell. You know, but then I also realized the passenger got a little bit worried. She got scared and she closed the door. So I was like, I don't want to make anyone scared.
Okay, wait.
So now I just picked up all the plastic and I was like, immediately threw my hat. I'm like, I'm not going to call insurance for this.
Yeah.
It's not even worth the deductible. My rate's going to go up. So I just collected my pieces of side mirror and got back in my car and left. I was so angry.
Wait, but it's obviously their fault. They
truly their fault.
Toss you a couple bucks, Venmo
nothing.
You?
I just took off. I just said, it's not worth it. Because the guy was very confrontational with me as well. I was like, there's no way this is going to end positive, you know? And the guy's like, I have my emergencies on. I go, you know, my car's like loaded with cameras. He's like, well, I put the emergencies on now. I'm like, well, that's not helping any of us.
Wow. So this is, but this is a turning point, I think, for just your.
Yeah.
You know,
this is my way of letting you know. I think I've matured a little
anger
bit.
Anger management is working.
Yeah, I hate it. I hate it.
You know, as soon as you get a big old job at CBS, all of a sudden.
Yeah, now when you got shit to lose, that's when you decide not to be reckless. Sudden,
you know, okay.
I was so mad. I banged the hood of his car. That's the most I got.
Damn, bro.
When I said, what the heck, man?
Man, censoring himself.
Oh, dude.
Okay.
I just went to dinner with no side view mirror.
Good for Alexis.
Nah, that's not fun.
Not making headlines, okay? Because the last time you made a headline in a local paper, it was for getting bit by a bed bug.
By a bed bug.
In Minnesota.
And the hotel was like, we see no evidence of bed bug. How about my leg? How about the actual bed bug I gave you? There's evidence. Exhibit A and B.
Yes, that is a true story. Go look it up. Yeah. If Google Alexis Guerrero's bed bugs. I'm sure you can.
I was so angry that I was like, Christian's never picking a hotel again. As if you purposely picked a bed bug hotel.
I said, extra bed bugs, please.
Yeah. Alexis is going to get there first. Can we have him be the only one who gets bit by a bed bug, please?
Anyway, well, good for you, buddy. Hopefully everything. It's just a car. At the end of the day, it's just stuff, Alexis.
It's just stuff.
Material things.
But here's the thing. It's my stuff.
Okay. You need to get back home to your family. That's the most important. Not fighting, you know, a Russian dissident in the street.
Yo. Shouts to my guy from the Republic of Georgia.
Okay. okay? From the former Soviet Union, dog.
My bad, Mr. Kvaratskhelia.
So, welcome to the Cooligans right here on Sports. We out here. We're back after a wild weekend in European footy.
I'm living good.
Alexis is the only one. Me and producer Carter.
Arsenal fan. I'm not an LAFC fan. I had a nice weekend.
You're chilling, dog.
I had a nice weekend.
But yeah, so we have a lot to go over. Obviously, we're going to talk Trafico.
We definitely got to talk a little bit of Tottenham and a little bit of Everton.
Oh,
sorry,
boy.
Carter. Sorry, Christian.
It's, you know, we tried to. I'm trying to get these highlight videos scrubbed from the internet, bro. We can't. Why are they allowing Everton highlights on the internet nowadays? But yeah, so a lot.
Everton highlight is also an oxymoron.
okay, well, I mean, they got two. Anyway, and we have excited. We have two friends that are going to be joining us in a little bit to talk about, especially El Tráfico, the homies Emilio Lopez and Wisa Vasquez, to talk about you know, a lot going on in American soccer and in Mexican soccer. So
and it's Mexican Independence Day.
Exactly. My favorite holiday.
Bro, it's the only one we celebrate, bro.
Okay. Right? I don't even acknowledge the other Independence Day.
I don't know what happened. John Hancock, did he push the damn conquistadors out of our country?
No, even for the United States, I'm like, we still a colony of Britain, bro.
Yeah, it still feels like it. Yo, Canada still got the king and queen on the money.
On the money, yeah.
It's embarrassing, bro. Yo, let go of your ex, dog.
Yeah, bro. How is Canada's money getting cucked, bro?
Yeah, for real. You ain't gonna find me using no but other president, other someone. I ain't gonna, the $2 bill doesn't have Kim Jong-un on it.
Yeah. Anyway, hello everybody. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero.
And let's start today. Yeah, let's start with the North London Derby because Arsenal win again. At Tottenham Stadium.
Bro, I was watching that game like...
Win 1-0.
1-0 to the Arsenal. 1-0.
Okay.
That's the old chant from when we used to suck. Or we used to just play crazy defensively.
The a goal by Gabriel Magalhães. You could tell he was very happy with it.
Well, hold on a second. Did we score a goal on a set piece?
Hey, look.
Did Tottenham give up a goal on a set piece?
Does
Ange Postecoglou still not need a set piece coach?
What? What was the? Oh, that's right. That is one of the.
Remember that?
During the game, and I guess it's. I haven't paid attention to it that much, but during the game, they kept talking about the goalkeeper, Vicario. How do you? It's like Guillermo, the Spanish. We would say Guillermo, but I don't know how to pronounce it in Italian. Guillermo. All right. Okay. So there's a little bit of
GL is just the L. The
yeah, because there's a little bit of
it's a U also. Guglielmo is Guglielmo is how it it's looks.
There's a little bit of Google.
Yeah. So right.
I don't want to be disrespectful, but I'm just saying it's like as an American reader,
right?
English reader, I'm like, okay, what is this? You're trying to trick me here.
Yeah, it feels like you're trying to win at Scrabble with a word that don't exist.
But they kept
Vicario, we can understand.
Yes, but they kept saying that he's been terrible with balls inside the 6-yard box. Whenever you send that goalkeeper should be better in this situation, and goalkeepers that are his height, they're specifically like, yo, you're too tall. To be getting embarrassed like
this. It's like a Latin mom when she reminds you your cousins are doing better than you. That's how this all sounded. Tu cousin is a doctor.
You're like, how'd you get this far? Making these kind of mistakes. And the goal that was given up, I don't even think it's a mistake by him. I think it was a great set piece from Arsenal. They crowded the box at just the right time. And he was just like, confused, like, oh my, there's too many people in front of me.
Who do I stop?
Exactly.
Also, the guy taking the corner is left footer, so you know it's going to be an in-swinger.
Uh-huh.
And here comes Gabriel Magalhães making a long run. And at one point, you know, Cuti Romero just loses him,
but he gets a little...
No, he lost him. He turned around. He wasn't there anymore. And he was like, oh, damn.
Gabriel gave him a little bit of like...
That's the recovery. You gave him a little...
A little push. Let him
nudge.
Like,
nudge
let
is
you
allowed.
Know, let you know I'm here.
Yo, we pro-nudge on this show, okay? You're allowed to nudge.
Little Heisman stiff arm.
It wasn't a push.
It wasn't
a
push.
It was a nudge. It was a little hey.
It was just...
You ever wake your girl up? You know what I mean? If you're unsure she has to wake up early, goes. you working today? That was it. It was a little nudge.
I'm also here. That's all. So because he turned around with the like, yo, ref, you seeing this?
Bro.
You seeing what's gone? What's
what
happening to the
game? Violent nudge.
The game's gone,
yeah,
ref.
Dude,
the
bro.
Game's gone. You see, you allow this kind of assault?
We should have never let foreigners into the league. The guy's Argentinian.
Bro. Next he's going to be talking about people eating dogs and cats. Right, I'm like, bro. God,
it's too much.
Romero, chill out, dog.
Then we got to go to a Gabriel Magalhães restaurant. Yeah, damn, Romero. All I know is that for weeks I've had to hear Nico on Morning Footy talk about how Romero is possibly the best bench center back in the league.
This was coming up, yeah.
In the game.
Mm.
He's a World Cup winner. Where was he? Where was he on that set piece?
Well,
bro?
Look, this is my takeaway from this game. Was, obviously Tottenham haven't had the best start this season, but I was watching this game of like, let's see how they approach this this matchup and mm-hmm. this situation, a big game early on in the season. And for the most part, I'm watching, I'm like, yo, Tottenham are a pretty good team. They looked fairly sharp. Yeah, they couldn't score. This game felt like it had 0-0 all over it.
Yeah, they had a lot of momentum, but they weren't doing nothing with it.
Incredible stops on both sides.
Yep.
And not even like it wasn't even like that the goalkeepers had a lot to do. It was really like I think good defending on both sides, and it's just that's it. Set piece FC gets you sometimes, and this was the
I'm not
scenario.
Even gonna be offended by that. To be honest with you,
no, didn't I think it was Ian Wright that said this. See, I think he called this set piece FC.
I'm perfectly fine with it. Like, yo, we are two best midfielders. Sorry, Arsenal's two best midfielders mm-hmm. are out. What are you gonna do? What are you going to do? You're a creative midfielder. You know, the guy you paid $100 million for, both out. What are you going to do?
Yeah,
you've got Leandro Trossard is basically starting as like, a false nine striker. You've got Havertz back in the midfield. That clearly wasn't working either. Bukayo Saka is playing his 700th week in a row. You know what I mean? Like, these people are gassed.
This game was set up for Arsenal to either drop points or lose outright.
Or just a 0-0. Barely get a result and walk out.
Exactly.
They started a 4-4-2. Jorginho, who has...
It was almost like... The original listing I had seen was Trossard at the top, and it was like three at the back.
Yeah.
And, you know, five in the middle or whatever.
I think it was always four at the back, but I think the midfield was like in a 2-3-1 setup.
Yeah.
With Partey and Jorginho sitting back. And then you've got Saka, Havertz, Martinelli with Trossard up top by himself. Look, this was set up to be we're going away. So the most enemy in enemy territory can be mm-hmm. beginning of the season. We don't need to go crazy, right? Just an international window just ended. Let's just go in there. Let's try to get a result and walk out of here. Not let them score. Dude, this is three away wins in a row. That hasn't happened in the North London Derby. That hasn't happened since 1988.
I saw the picture from Expressions,
mm-hmm.
And he was just like. He was like, you know, third time in a row, this can't keep happening. And it's just like, I don't even know what to say. There's just something. We all, Spursy this and whatever. I thought they were decent. I thought Tottenham was pretty good in this game. It wasn't just like, they didn't get embarrassed. But they just couldn't figure it out. I thought Gabriel and Saliba were unbelievable.
They are by far the best center back pairing in the world.
They were so good. Even to the point where I'm like, Calafiori, where are you going to get minutes, bro? These guys are too good.
Well, that's how Timber played out of his mind.
Timber was incredible.
I was
as well.
Like, yo, bro, Calafiori, you might want to take a week or two. You might want to hurry
also,
back.
Also, I thought Son was like kind of absent in the game, like really didn't have any real impact on the game as. Okay, we should get Carter's.
We do got to get Carter's take on this. I just want to say before we do, and Carter, I can't wait to hear how you're going to try to spend this. I mean, what you have to say. what I want to say is, let's think back to Giorgio Chiellini, maybe making one of the greatest post-game.
After.
Talks of all time. A lot of people remember, like, this is the history of Tottenham, right? When he said that.
Yeah.
But you forget what he said beforehand. What he said was, they played very well. But in the end, they found a way to not win. Mm-hmm. And that is the history of Tottenham. It's literally what you're saying right now, which is they look like the better team on the day.
Yeah.
They just couldn't finish any chances. Solanke, what was he, £62 million? Yeah. 65? Something like that, £60-something million? bro, the guy had one clear cut chance and just kind of the ball got stuck in his foot, or he took a bad first touch. I mean, this is the thing that happens to Tottenham is they Tottenham themselves. You know what I mean?
Like, you add it as another description right, in the dictionary.
Adjective, noun, proverb.
When you changed formation and the two,
this was the clip.
Very quickly. Yeah, but Tottenham, it's the history of the Tottenham. They always created many chances and scored so much, but at the end they miss always something to arrive at the end. We believe in the history. I think
this is brutal.
It's worse in an Italian accent.
Yeah,
because you know there was a cultural exchange where he's like, I don't even speak English, is not my first language, but I've heard of the legend that is Tottenham.
Yo, when you gotta hit Google Translate for these mans suck. You know what I mean? I get the official pronunciation?
I feel
of this?
Bad because even you saw Postecoglou after the game.
May I remind the fans, this is an Everton fan feeling bad for Tottenham.
Did you see Postecoglou after in the post-match comments where he was asked essentially just about the state of Tottenham, like, can they actually win trophies? And you can tell he's just like, bro, I am tired of answering this question every week. I don't know what to tell. I can't wash the stink of Tottenham off of us. Well, I'm trying my best.
I can't go back in history, kill baby Hitler, and then turn around and then help Tottenham. I can't do both of those.
You know what kind of, you know, my like calendar is full with all these other, you know, asks,
bro,
to fix history.
I can't go back in time and tell Jesus, yo, it's Judas. Go back, kill baby Hitler. And then save Tottenham.
Yo, Julius, watch out for Brutus, bro. You can't trust him, bro.
Bro, don't turn your back on that guy. But I mean, like, literally.
So,
also, put some pants on, Julius.
Look, and we can make fun of Tottenham forever, which is what everybody does. But
I'm pro doing that if that's an option.
But
for this
I want to show some positivity because we get sometimes in the comments like, "Oh, this damn Arsenal podcast" and blah blah blah. Like people can't stand it. But I do want to give because I thought I haven't watched too many Tottenham games this season, but. The center back, Van de Ven, where's he from? Is he Dutch?
He's fast as hell.
He's great. I think he is set up to be one of the better defenders in the Premier League. I thought he was fantastic. There's just good passer, controls the ball. He can dribble out of the back pretty well. Mm-hmm. Good player to have on the team. Hopefully they can figure some of this stuff out. Bringing in Dominic Solanke, I think was it's one of those things of like, oh, he did it. He did it. Well, he was at Bournemouth, right?
Yeah.
Oh, he did it at Bournemouth. He can just do that for us. And it's like, I don't know if he can just do that for you. Like,
yeah.
He can't. He's still figuring out.
But they thought that about Richarlison at first, and I think he's kind of solidified himself as a big option. He's injured. Yves Bissouma is injured, which is a massive part of the way they play. Yves Bissouma is supposed to be able to turn around with pressure collapsing on him and make a forward pass or make a forward run. He excels at that. He does that exceptionally. It's what gives, James Maddison the space, Betancourt the space, whoever he's passing it to. It's who gives them the space to turn around and make like a nice pass to either, Heming Son or Brennan Johnson off on the side playing with a Rubik's Cube, whatever he's doing, because he stinks. But, whoever else is supposed to turn around and shoot. But without those guys, it's like, you take away, this is the big issue for me, right? Like people are like, oh, Arsenal were too defensive. Think about what Mikel Arteta did, said, I don't have my best players. I don't have the players that allow me to play the way I want to play. So I need to switch it up. I've got this great defense. Let me sit back. Let me let them cook a little bit. Yeah. And maybe we can sneak a point on a set piece. Exactly what happened. You go over to the other side, Tottenham, Ange Postecoglou, who again, I've heaped praise on this man. I think he's a wonderful tactician, a wonderful coach. He's won everywhere else he's gone. He made, the Brisbane Roar look like, tiki-taka Barca. This guy is good. This guy is very good at what he does. But, he got plan A and then that's it. Mm. His whole thing is like, if plan A don't work, why don't we do plan A louder? that's not the way you win games. If you don't have your player that helps you play the way you want to play, then you got to switch it up. You got to do something different if you don't have a replacement for him.
Yeah, maybe even like now I think I'm trying to figure out like why didn't Son have any real impact? And maybe you think about the connection that he had with Harry Kane, and Harry Kane was such a great hold up striker.
Mm-hmm.
that it doesn't feel like Solanke is that.
Maybe with time. When Richarlison comes back, maybe they'll...
It benefits Son so much. It's just like, Son seemed lost in the game, man. It was just so disappointing. Carter, as the Tottenham supporter.
Say something for the Tottenham fans in the chat.
Give them some level of optimism if you can.
I think I completely agree with Christian's kind of like take on it. I thought, you know, outpossessed Arsenal.
Really, I don't agree with the Arsenal fans.
outpossessed Arsenal. The midfield, we looked good in the midfield. Defensively, Van de Ven and Romero both had good games. I just think that the
Romero, the guy that let the...
I think overall he had a good game. That was a mistake for sure. But I think overall he had a good game. But I think the attacking third, like that last, the Son, Johnson, and Solanke couldn't put anything together.
Yeah.
Johnson, he kept on hitting his first man whenever he would take on, or whenever he would try to cross, and whenever he tried to take on Timber, he would lose. And so it comes down to like, yes, clap for Urien Timber.
That was just for Timber.
Urien Timber. I think it comes down to one thing that Alexis said, which is maybe this is an Arteta-Ange thing, or is this these two clubs are in a different part of their development, right? Arteta's been there for 5 seasons. This is season number 2 for Ange, Arsenal knows how to win games that they don't play their best in now. And they did it last season, and they're doing it again this season, where they can play poorly or they cannot play their style of football and still find a way to win.
I'm going
to
put you on the spot. Who wins a trophy first, Harry Kane or Tottenham?
Harry Kane.
Well, that's no spot. That's a what a lovely, comfortable spot to be in.
I'm gonna put you in the Berka lounge here. But he's a Tottenham fan. I thought that would hurt a little
just
more.
Just gave him a drink with a little umbrella in it.
I put a little sprig of Tabasco on this rice. I said, "Watch out, it's spicy."
Hey, we got some tahini on that.
Watch out for this ice. It's a little cold. Look, it's embarrassing that might be the case. That Harry Kane would win something before an entire club, but it might just happen.
Yeah,
I mean, that's why he went to Bayern, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't work out last year.
You know, overall, I thought it was a decent performance from Tottenham. You're gonna get hit on a set piece, and again, the fact that
forget they're home.
They are home
in a North London derby, their most hated rival.
Correct. Look, it's clearly very contentious. Yeah. I have been to the Emirates when all they do is sing about how much they hate Tottenham. All right.
And Tottenham wasn't even playing.
Tottenham was
there
not
was no
even
Tottenham representation at that game.
So I get it. But this is
there was a moment where Christian goes, again, when someone yelled, "What do we think of Tottenham?"
Yeah. It's just like, all right, I heard this track before.
Yeah, man. DJ said spin it back. What about Everton, bro? Y'all in the mud, huh?
All right. Everton, we are in the mud. It's not just mud, it's quicksand.
It's quicksand, bro. Cartoon level quicksand.
It's another consecutive loss after being up 2-0.
The one thing you're supposed to be good at is the defensive part. What happened?
Nah, bro. That ain't us, okay?
that was the old me.
We're trying something different.
That was angry Alexis, bro.
No, this is, I would say it's embarrassing. But it just happened the week prior. So Everton lose 3-2 to Aston Villa. To for Everton to be up 2 goals away.
Did you have confidence that they would be able to hold on?
No. Not even a little bit. Confidence is not... When it comes to Everton, confidence is not in the vocabulary.
You were just sitting there like, how are we going to lose this one?
I said, once the first goal went in, Ollie Watkins scores on the header. I was like, we're going to, I didn't even say we're going to stick it out for a result.
Yeah.
You know, let's go. Just
the Sean Dyche
dig in, boys. Yeah. No, it was like, we are going to lose this game. Because it was another issue with, Michael Keane, the center back that is in for the injured
Branthwaite.
And I mean, To Keane's credit, you know, in the two prior seasons when Everton were, you know, look like they might be relegated, he came through with unbelievable goals, important goals, bangers that were just necessary to help keep the team in the Premier League. But his definitive weakness is his defending. He's
what position does he play?
He's a center back.
Okay, cool. Cool, cool, cool.
Kind of like, it's kind of the main thing. It's like the first thing on his resume right there at the top. And he just always, and this is not necessarily like his fault per se, because Ollie Watkins is, you know, got bunnies, all right? And
he just jumped. It's not his fault. There's people on the other team.
But
what's he supposed to do?
it's just the constantly like either being out of position, even that ball. It was just like there was a little bit of like he jumped a little too early. So he was like almost on the way down by the time he was trying to clear the ball. And Ollie Watkins just got there before him. But it's just such a annoying goal to give up. The second one, a poor clearance from Jack Harrison, who is left-footed and using his right foot to try to clear the ball, but he just sets it up for Ollie Watkins. And
literally, great assist,
right? Yeah. So it's just
and then a worldie of a third.
It's just the third goal was just like, yes, of course, of course, this has to happen. John Duran, the former Chicago Fire player, who can't even get a start at Aston Villa.
Don't need it though. He scores buckets
because he always seems to score when he comes off the bench.
Yeah.
It was just, but the goal was so beautiful that I was like, all right, that's
what
it. It's like, boom, credit to you. I mean, like, another embarrassing situation. But Everton, again, they scored those two, but they had a chance. They could have made it 3-1. Calvert-Lewin missed two really great opportunities. Maybe one of them was not really his fault. The ball is like passed a little bit in front of him, but he couldn't reach it. But it's just how bad does this have to keep getting? I mean, it's, you know how they always, Everton's fans always say that it's the hope. It's the hope that kills you.
Do you even have any this year?
But you have hope when you're up two in the first half. You're like, all right, let's just hold on. Five at the back. Let's chill. And no, but you know how bad it's gotten. I don't know if you saw this. So we were talking about John Textor.
I heard he said some wild stuff about Sean Dyche.
I didn't see that. But this is this is how bad it's getting. Because they're trying to, they sell the team. And he's trying to buy the team. But you know who John Textor is trying to get involved in the ownership group? Guess.
Who?
Guess. Take one guess. Guess anybody. Guess anybody. From New York.
Not Donald Trump. Imagine. Oh my God.
I'm gonna give you a second guess. That was a really bad guess.
Well, you said it like it was wild.
It's fairly wild, but guess anybody.
Did he?
Close. Jay-Z.
Really?
Yeah, this is apparently he's trying to get him.
Oh, you made it seem like it was problematic.
I mean, for some people it might be. I don't know. but this is how bad it's getting, where they're trying
I'm
to find
give you a second guess.
This is what can be said? The team is it just happened the week prior in kind of a worse circumstance in the match prior, in a worse circumstance when they were up 2-0 in the 87th minute. So this was like a more respectable loss because it was like, all right, it happened throughout a longer time. They held a lead for a longer time than that.
Progress. Well, the reason I was on my phone just now is I was looking up John Textor. Also, he kind of, you know how John Textor is, right? We saw him on the sideline at Botafogo going, this whole thing is rigged.
Yeah,
blah, blah, blah. So the guy likes to yip a little bit, which we love. We love yippers on the show because it gives us something to talk about. He was asked, I can't find the exact quote, but he was asked about his potential takeover. And he was saying, like, it's very close. And he was talking about where the team is. You talk about wanting to bring in big name players and he wants to blah, blah, blah. And he wants to, you know, save the team and make sure the stadium is the best in Europe. He was doing all that type of thing. I'm paraphrasing. But when he talked about Sean Dyche, he said, look at the coach we have. Look at the manager we have. Like, is he even the one to take the play team? He was already kind of, the guy's still in his job. Yeah, yeah. And the dude was like, I'm not even sure this is the guy who should be the manager. And then Sean Dyche was asked about it. And he basically was like, I might get sacked, you know, I might not, but as long as I'm here, I'm going to give my all, you know.
He should have been like, I don't think we should sell the team because I love our owner. He's great.
Mashiri, bro. He got some ideas.
Would I get this Mashiri tattoo if I did not think he was the right owner for this club?
Nah, you buggy. With that crazy voice of his.
You asked me if it's embarrassing. It's, I don't,
it,
we're,
does it
we're
still
beyond
hurt
that.
Or are you past it?
No, it hurts, but also you look at the Premier League table and one win and you're in like 15th. So I'm like, all right, can we just, the bar is clearly.
You're like a New England Revolution fan, bro. Two wins and no one else plays any games. And bro, we're like 1 point out of the playoff.
We need to introduce a playoff model to the Premier League with the top 20 teams make it to the playoffs.
Now,
okay.
Now you're thinking.
Now think about it, guys. Okay. Because this is the real competitive structure that I think really helps improve the product.
Yeah, Christian's like, if you make it to the playoffs, you can't get relegated. So I don't know how it's going to work out.
Okay. Then the other thing as far as European football we wanted to make sure we talked about was Christian Pulisic. He got a goal and an assist.
He's balling. In Player City. Of the month from the Italian media last month.
Look at that. He scored on a penalty and then he got an assist off the corner. But it's also, Christian Pulisic taking corners.
Mm.
Taking penalties.
He said, give me that ball.
He says, if the ball is set still,
right.
I'm going to be the one above it.
If we playing, pass me the ball, pass it back to you. If the ball's dead, everyone get out of my way. I got this.
So I think it's a fairly big deal to have, especially an American player, have that much trust from the coaching staff to be like, oh, no, this is the guy that's going to lead us and kind of direct a little bit.
Right. And look, it's been a rough start for Milan. I think they're like in eighth place. Certainly not where they want to be.
I think two draws and one win.
Yeah, it hasn't been great.
Or something like that.
But they're in 10th. Yeah. They're in 10th place. Yeah, it hasn't been great. There's already three matches in there, like, people calling for Paolo Fonseca to be sacked. It is what it is. In the beginning, obviously, there's going to be some growing pains. But the one positive is that Christian Pulisic seems to be playing well. Other teammates seem to like him. Lau said in the preseason that he, connects well with him. They have a lot of chemistry. Like, those are all the things you want to hear. I remember I was talking to a Milan fan a couple of months ago in the summer. They were in New York. And I'm like, oh, what do you think of Christian Pulisic? And he was just doing the Italian thing. I'm like, we had Shevchenko. We had Nesta. Hey, who's the Pulisic? I'm like, one of your players. That's who he is. that's why I asked. Stop disrespecting your player like
right,
that.
Right, right.
It's seemingly someone who's playing at the highest level for your team.
Yeah, so it's good to see. And again, we always hope it translates to the national team. But
I hope Pochettino's watching, bro.
But yeah, especially with
Poch watch.
Poch. Okay, we
got. Why you Poch watch?
We got Poch watch. We need a graphic card for that. That's
great. It's Poch watch.
Poch watch. It's
just in his underwear making a mate. Stop the Poch watch.
You just see him from the type of player he was at Dortmund to this like young upstart, wonder kid kind of a story to. Just the chaos that was Chelsea.
Not his fault.
Yeah. And it's just like maybe that helped develop, his character a little bit, his maturity. Because just not only just seeing him score some goals and obviously he's doing great at Milan, but it's just that, again, he has that confidence from the rest of his from his teammates and stuff like that. So it's good to see. And again, you hope it translates, obviously.
Yeah, and he's not like the Clint Dempsey type leader where he's out there braggadocious. He's kind of a quiet leader, leads by example. Right. So it's nice to see that at the very least, he's finding ways to implement himself in these teams.
The one thing I did forget, Liverpool losing to Nottingham Forest. Quick thought.
That was the first time since like the 50s that Nottingham Forest won at Anfield. Mm-hmm. Bro. That's crazy. The same year, what was the year that the man landed on the moon?
It was in the 60s. I forgot what year. 60.
Who cares?
I don't remember.
69. You know what I mean?
It was. Yeah, dude.
They 69 at Anfield. That's the way I'm going to say it.
Okay. Yeah, bro. Can't just think about it. 69 in space.
Oh, I mean, no gravity, man. Damn. If Shorty is squirted, that's just a lot of. It's getting on all the technology,
Anyway,
a mere space station.
Just think about it.
Damn, we gonna need some wet wipes.
A surprising.
My fear is when you try to direct us back on track.
That's why.
Just how do you underail a train?
That's what I'm here for. Speaking
of training, anyway.
The
Can you get pregnant in space? Is that possible? I don't think you can.
Why not? Why couldn't you? Please.
Because gravity. You know what I'm saying? The force. I don't think the gravity. Gravity is important. No,
bro.
Is that not? Is no one with me on this? We have other people in the studio.
You know what? There's
who
nothing.
Are also embarrassed.
I was gonna try to go back to talking about Liverpool, but we're gonna have to move on. We're gonna be chatting with Wiso and Amy.
Maybe they'll know. Maybe they Google this.
We know our first question to them.
Okay. Now let's just say they're not gonna expect it.
This is gonna be an ongoing like series. Where first question to all guests. Can you get pregnant in space?
Prove it. Show me the proof.
Directly into the mic, please. All right, we'll be back when we send Amy. All right, welcome back, everybody. I'm excited to have our next guest because it's been a minute.
They've been on our show before.
Been on our show. Usually, I think the last time they were on together was when they were in Qatar for the World Cup.
That's right.
I believe so. Yeah, we were in.
Feels like just yesterday and also a decade ago all at the same time.
And we were in Atlanta
because
we were hosting a watch party for US Wales.
That's right.
We were all traveling very much. So excited I don't know the exact title of what their current jobs are because I feel like they have 14 of them.
They keep moving a goalpost on us. They're like, no, we don't do that anymore. You did at the beginning of this conversation.
So I'll let them clarify where they are as far as like, gainful
employment. Who are you? What do you do?
But excited to be joined by Emilia Lopez and Wiso Vasquez. Wiso and Amy, what's up, guys?
Hello, I'm so excited to be here. It legit feels like a movie set that you see all the time, and then you're like, oh my God, I'm here.
Right. Sometimes people are like, with New York, they're like, the big city, you know? And we're like the big city of soccer podcasts.
We're the Times Square.
We're the Times Square.
It's true. And just like yesterday, filled with Mexicans.
I mean, you guys, perfect for the production. It was like, Mexican Independence Day. We saw an Amy.
Yeah.
Exactly. Tottenham.
That's right. The beginning of Hispanic Heritage Month.
Yeah,
look at that.
Which I love. I always say I love that Hispanic Heritage Month spans two different months. It starts in the middle of September.
In true Hispanic honor, it starts late and it ends late. Just like a Latino party.
It ends almost like, oh, it's still going on?
Why are the kids asleep on chairs? Because the party's still going. That's why.
Right in the middle of it, the Day of the Dead. Yes. Like, it's
perfect. It's perfect. So we have to first talk about El Tráfico because Amy, I know
I had an amazing weekend.
Okay.
Yeah, you bet.
She is wearing an Arsenal shirt.
Arsenal top, LA Galaxy, Canelo.
LA Galaxy, Canelo.
Canelo won? Nice.
Okay.
And then Americas. I mean, I have a very soft spot for Chivas Femenil, but both America teams also won.
All right.
This means something bad's going to happen to me.
You're on this show.
Astronauts
get pregnant?
not pregnancy, actually.
We asked this to all our guests.
As the only person at this table that can get pregnant and has twice.
Mm-hmm.
I would say there's a possibility.
That Amy can get pregnant on the
moon. Yeah, no, Amy's like, don't trust him.
If anyone could get pregnant on the moon. dear friend.
Do you have an MLS team or no?
No, but since I'm with Amy all the time, I now have to cheer for Amy.
I made
team.
Him into an Arsenal fan.
That's one.
Okay.
Joke, right? So we're throwing it. So no, MLS team. I live in Phoenix. It's too hot to have one there.
Is that true?
Phoenix Rising. I kind of like sit to see where Mexicans play in the MLS. And I'm like, okay, Houston. Ooh, okay. Earthquakes.
Doble H.
So I kind of go on and I look from behind. I stand around when I look at the Tráfico and see, Carlos Vela, Chicharito was there. So I kind of look to see. But I can't say anything bad because you know, Amy would be like, yo, you can't. She had a great weekend. I had to pull a little bit. If you're talking about El Tráfico, we're watching. We went to see the fight in Jersey. And we were working over there. And literally, we had screens of the UFC fight. And we had screen, you know, Canelo. There's tons of people. I have a picture. Maybe you guys can put it up. I'll send it to you. There's Amy in her little phone watching El Tráfico. You can't hear it. Everyone's going crazy about the fight, but she just goes, yeah. Elbows me because, you know, they went down from 0-2, and I'm sure you could tell a better story, but it was crazy how she's just so committed to it. So.
I think towards the end, you were getting less elbows and more, I'll buy the next round,
yeah.
because it was a wild one.
But look, in that first half, LA Galaxy are down 2 goals, and it's starting to feel like, okay, here we go again.
It's looking bad. I think Jalen Neal is a really good, promising young player, but mm-hmm. I think there are times where, especially in the first 15 minutes, it got to be a little bit too much for him. They were just going down that line like every time. And I was like, here we go. How are we going to respond to it? And then they did. It really was a tale of two halves for LA Galaxy because they look flustered. For everything that Galaxy has done well offensively, a big talking point has been the fact that we give up so many goals. But we're able to respond to all the goals. And I felt like, okay, I do kind of have a sense of hope that they're going to be able to clean this up, but they did look really lost in the first half. And I think just, again, the two goals coming so close within each other, coming so soon into the start of the game, mm-hmm. you're just kind of like, oh,
The only thing they do is counter, right?
Yeah.
They don't, it's not like the old days where Vela was in, although he's back.
Exactly. Yeah, we'll get reactions.
Longest PTO anybody's ever taken. <Yeah.
laughs> Like, it took a sabbatical, bro.
the goal from, I thought the biggest moment, the goal from Jovlich, his first goal, right? The one.
Trivela?
Was it a Trivela?
Yeah.
He kind of, you know, did a couple moves inside the box, and then I was just like, who is the... sir, I was not familiar with your game. Like, that was an unbelievable goal in that moment.
Yeah, I think it's a very good response. I think it's... I think everything, if you watch it from the angle where they're actually showing it in real time, you are like, there's so much space right there. And he found it and he saw it. He had enough space to take the shot. And you're like, what a golazo. Like, it is unbelievable. And, you know, he scores again, which I think I really like about Galaxy this season is there's so many high expectations that if somebody like Jovlich doesn't score for like 2 games, you're like, you know what? He's having a bad time. Right. And then he'll respond. And, you know, even Ricky, people have talked about him in certain ways where maybe he holds the ball a little bit too much in the midfield or, you know, I mean, we're going to talk about it right now.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of like, against LAFC, it's a little bit complicated for him. But Galaxy has been responding. You know, we're talking about this great weekend that I had. I like to find parallels with all the teams that I like. And very much like Arsenal, where, like, you now have a team that is confident in their abilities. It's so, like... LA Galaxy is good again. That's the main component of all.
Because last year was because, not.
No, I would say the last, maybe like 5 years, honestly, have just been just very debilitating seasons. And this season, you know, I think the best thing that Galaxy has done has just gone, hey, guys, we don't really need a superstar. Because Ricky did come in with a lot of high expectations.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't, you know, I think Zlatan had the team that he had, right?
Yeah.
If he had this team, oh, my God, right? But they had a long history.
Call Perry Kitchen Kevin for like his whole 2 years.
You know, he wasn't correcting him.
Yeah, and Tuna was there too.
Tuna Nation.
So I think that LA Galaxy finally figured out, obviously, they kind of cleaned house and everything. And they just went, you know what? We need good players and we can make them stars.
Sure.
But let's not bring in a superstar. I mean, I guess you can kind of make the case with Royce. But even Royce comes in. And it's like, I want to play. I want to try. I thought that was their one signing that was going to be like, we need to make a big name signing.
Let's sell a couple tickets.
Yeah,
let's go have a little fun. Let people know we're still here.
Let him hang out in the sunshine and have a good time. But no, like even that first game, he comes in, he scores a goal, he assists. He looks excited to play with Galaxy. And I think that you saw it in this game too. They faced LAFC at 4th of July, lost. But now they come back and...
Yeah. No, I think it shows a lot of character. I mean, and I want to talk about Ricky Puig. And we're going to focus on him Because we even... You know, so Ricky Puig has been notorious for responding to random tweets that he's not even tagged in. He's like, if you're talking about me...
We've done our fair share of...
But that's the thing is that we have also made fun in his first season or maybe second season when he had a terrible start. He had like no assists after like 10 games.
Mm-hmm.
So we're teasing him about it, and he didn't respond to us.
How dare he?
Oh, wow.
But literally, all the Barca fanboys are in our comments like, you don't know anything, but these guys are dumb, fat, this guy, and blah, blah, blah.
You didn't have to bring that up.
That was in the comments. I'm just reminding people the terrible things that they said about you, Alexis.
Pretty horrific. I guess Ricky didn't have to respond. That's what we're learning.
But I was like, oh, man, we missed out on some of the smoke.
I'm not trying to create waves between two of you, but that was a very passionate.
What did he say before?
You guys don't know anything
about
soccer.
He's like, yo, these guys are stupid. These guys are stupid. That one guy looks pretty good fat.
I say, you don't even need to say any of those things. I don't support it.
I don't support it. It definitely wasn't my burner account that wrote it.
But Ricky Puig, after the game, and he had a great game. And after his goal, he doing the little, took off the shirt, did the little ole matador thing. I'm like, okay, this guy's he's all vibes, bro. He not only is he a great footballer. I mean, we see him on the pitch. He is leaps and bounds, oftentimes the best player on the field. I mean, you can just clearly see the level of quality that was brought to the team. And I think the thing that's better from him over Zlatan is that he didn't have Zlatan had terrible body language with his teammates. He's like, oh, frustrated with
it. Well, I think it goes back to just like the team camaraderie. Like, I think that was the problem. It's hard with Zlatan because you go, yes, he was a commanding force, but it was also a terrible team on paper to put him with. So it was a recipe for disaster. Then you bring on Chicharito. Again, it's kind of an in-between sort of situation where, yes, he is a very good cherry picker, but the team is not to the fulfillment of being able to play around him. And it wasn't until
it's kind of like what's happening with Giroud right now.
Yeah, no. I mean, but LAFC is still like in second place. You know, yeah. LAFC, I think, does credit to them. They have been fairly consistent this entire time, you know, since, you know, they improving, win MLS Cup and still are pretty good. But they don't give out trophies for getting to finals. So, you know.
No, they don't.
They don't. They don't.
Tottenham would have a trophy case.
I love the pettiness. I love to hear.
Well, I think, you know, because what was it? What did they just lose? They just lost.
They lost League Cup.
They lost the League Cup final, right? And of course, there's a little rivalry banter talk on the timelines. And, you know, LAFC fans are like, well, at least we make it to finals. And I'm like, I think you have this season and maybe next season to still pull that, or else it's going to become a bit and you're going to be a joke.
Okay.
Not like a super huge joke because you're still going to be a top team. But I do think as an organization, LAFC, your relevancy is you should be a winning team and you want to be the finalist team. Like that's
okay.
The
other
part.
Yeah. The bar is high. I mean, I do want to talk about, I want to just mention Ricky first, but I do want to talk about, because I think the rivalry between the two teams is the most aggressive, I think, between the two compared to any others at the moment, even though, you know, there's fights and a lot of crazy stuff, but I'll get to that in a second. But I want to mention Ricky because he's been responding to people on Twitter. And again, he's not
so funny.
And this is funny because this is from, we know a good Juan who's a fan of the show.
He
tunes in all the time.
He's a homie.
And he tweets out a video. He's obviously at the game. And he just tweets out, vale pura verga este wey. And it's a video of...
Which we need a Mexican to Spanish translator.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I mean, how can... In the most polite way, how can you translate that?
Just... I mean, if I had to translate, it sucks ass, but very opposite and pretty bad. You don't say that. You don't say that in front of your mom, anybody around.
You definitely don't.
You get slapped.
Right. And Ricky Puig retweets this. And he says, no mames way, having fun with it.
It's the typical response.
But
is it culturally correct, though? Is that how he's supposed
to
respond?
No, it is. It's, you know, people do that when they think it's everyone says it. Mexicans say it all the time. No mames way. I think, who said it when they won the World Cup? when France won the World Cup, and no mames, they always go with the no mames.
Griezmann, right.
So I think it was a funny way. I don't think he was being petty on that way, but he's responding like a Mexican
He's just like, yo, I saw it.
He's like, you went full Mexican? I could go full Mexican.
And then...
This one I think is my favorite.
This is
Alex Ruiz.
A journalist, Alex
Zoom
Ruiz.
Zoom in so you really know it.
And he goes, and you know, just list a couple...
This is just straight stats.
Stats. He says, Ricky Puig has created zero chances in his last three games against LAFC. The black and gold has been able to make him a non-factor in the final third. And Ricky Puig, again, not tagged in it, but mentioned in it and retweets it.
Laugh, cry, and then shush emoji.
And it's but there's some, you know, the algorithm for Ricky Puig, his For You page
is all Ricky.
It's the For Ricky page.
These are Ricky Puig specific tweets that we are sending back to you.
So he is,
or posts on X.
He is seeing it. If you are if you're talking about Ricky,
he's seeing it. Well, it all started from what was it last season or the season before that, where somebody said, you know, they did the classic, Ricky just came to LA when he was playing bad.
Yes.
Didn't he also say he was like a boring city, you can't walk?
Well, I don't know if anybody ever actually confirmed that quote, because I think it just made the rounds.
Okay.
Like somebody said, I could be wrong, it's been a while, but I do remember somebody claiming that he said that he thought LA was boring, and then LA Galaxy comes out and responds with a really, really fun video.
I think it just started from there.
I don't think he's
bored. He's having fun. He's a little petty.
He's having a good time.
You gotta be a petty Betty, bro.
By the way, I just want to say, Alex Ruiz, I used to cover the Galaxy way back when, and the Galaxy community, the journalism press box, is one of my favorite places to be. I miss them every day. Alex is an up and coming journalist as well. LA, you know, Corner of the Galaxy, all those people have nothing but great things to say about him. So I agree. He was just putting stats, but I did see it. What was it? It was a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
I did see the post. Now I feel like Ricky might bookmark this.
Damn,
keep it in his file.
He put that on 9/11.
But I, you know,
another tragedy. If you ask Ricky Pooch.
But the thing I love about Ricky is that he, you know, again, an up and coming Galaxy reporter, just doing his job.
Yeah.
And Ricky treats American soccer media like the media out in Spain.
Right.
He's like, oh, you said something about me? I'm gonna clap back. And it's just like, bro, I have 40 followers. You don't need to say anything to me in general. But this is
why you're mad, because Cooligans doesn't get a retweet. We got so many followers.
We have
this
like 45 followers.
No, I'm just saying, we want to be a part of the discourse, Ricky. Yeah. Like, we want to be a part of the banter. Okay?
Ricky, what's it gonna take?
He's
scared, bro. He don't want that smoke. He saw two comedians and said, nah, I can't.
I would love to have Ricky on the show.
And we would love to have Ricky on the show.
He can call me fat. You know, he can mix it up. You know, yeah. Bring it up.
I'll tuck my shirt into my shorts like him. I'll be the good boy. And you should hear how he calls me fat when the show was going on.
Man.
No, but it would be great. So the other thing I was mentioning about the rivalry, and the one thing I want to mention is, you know, Eli Lesser,
yes,
right? He was formerly This Week in MLS. But it's an interesting angle, because he obviously covers Major League Soccer.
But he's a big LA Galaxy fan.
And he does a lot of banter with LAFC fans, you know, back and forth. And sometimes people get mad at him to the point where they're like threatening him in the comments. And it's just like, bro, it's a little bit of just like, obviously it's gone way too far when it gets to that point. But it says something about how passionate people are about this rivalry, because it's always the LAFC is LA formerly Chivas, and then
which is technically true. The thing about that is that it's technically true.
Listen, as an outsider watching you guys fight, it's hilarious.
It is
because I have no dog in the fight or whatever, but it is funny how petty the both rivalries are. You're a Chivas this, you are in a club here. You're not in LA, you're in Carson. Like, they just
it's a lot.
And you know what? It does hurt people. Like, I just go,
but in general, is it a net good for America? American soccer to have it be to be this a little crazy.
I think so. I think it's
El Tráfico, the name in itself. Like it's all true. It's there. It's funny. It's
and
LA is also a smoke city. Like everybody's on smoke in LA. People are just ready to fight at all times in LA. What happened, bro? Y'all got sun 24/7.
Yeah, I think that there's a.
It's funny.
I think the other thing is that it does deliver consistently.
Right, right.
They're always good games.
No defense. Yeah.
They're must-watch games. Like as much as I love, you know, all the other teams, you know, Toronto FC, Montreal is not really hitting.
When we were there.
And I think this is going to probably be the most. It's always been exciting, but this. I think this season is going to take it to another level
because
there's so much buzz about it being the Western Conference final match.
Yeah, yeah.
And what would that look like?
You know how hard you guys are going to play to be the ones to lose to Miami in the final? It's going to be amazing.
It's going to be quite an honor.
When you look at other parts of the world, when you look at Clásicos and those, you know, Boca River, you know, you look at in Mexico, Chivas, America. When people go MLS, outsiders don't go, wait, what's that huge? I think this is it.
This is it.
It has to be. People outside of the world go, oh my gosh, that game, Zlatan and Vela, you know, when he came in, I mean, and you're seeing all those goals, this is your big game.
Right. This is your Clásico.
And it's a brand new team coming in with the history of LA Galaxy and all it had, and coming in the briny shiny penny, all the sponsorship, black and gold coming in. You know, that's it. That's your soccer culture that MLS has been missing for a very long time. And credit, I'm sure there are other clubs like you guys have been saying it, but outsiders, they look at that and they see it.
This is becoming like the marquee game. And look, and it takes, you know, I've seen, the Milan derby or whatever. Like there's,
what is that, Derby della Madonnina?
Yeah, and you see the absolute insanity. Or even in Italy, there's always like the, you know, like
Derby della Capitale is the big one, right?
It's like
Lazio versus Roma.
It's like you know, father with his kid, and the ultras are like, I don't give a shit about that kid. Like they don't tone it down for any reason. And again, I think there's a little
A Christian will be a real footballing country when you yell at children.
But I guess there has to be some sort of balance of us sort of deciding collectively of like, do we want the American soccer culture to include some of that kind of psychosis and anger
toxicity.
And toxicity? And it's just like, you know, to some degree, it's like, yes, because it's obviously it's exciting. It brings up did you see the commissioner of the WNBA, she was asked about Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and how the comments have been like kind of crazy, and people are sort of promoting or even, you know, being saying racist things or just saying really, really toxic, problematic things and directing them at both of those players.
She was like, hey, engagement's up, baby.
That's exactly what she kind of, I mean, in different words, but she kind of was just like, well, no, it just shows how passionate people are about the WNBA. Well,
I think that's what everybody tries to get at. Cause I mean, there's even discourse around like women's soccer, right? And how do you get, I think it's like, passion is probably the buzzword, but what does that passion end up looking like?
Right.
Because yes, it's toxic, but it's because they care. And so we have to kind of be okay with it. But how toxic are we allowing it to get? How much can they really care about this?
Right. Can you usher away the fans who care the most?
Yes. Or are we, you know, I mean, we're Mexico fans. Like, no, we don't want somebody to care so much that they're stabbing somebody.
or getting games canceled because they yell that goddamn word.
I think that LA Galaxy, LAFC is, I don't want to say cute, like demeaning it, because I enjoy the games, obviously, as an LA Galaxy fan. But I don't think we should take it too seriously. I don't know, unless something very terrible happens.
Of course,
right?
Of course.
But I think right now, as far as like toxicity.
Well, it's soccer. It's not a Dodgers game. Relax.
Same fans.
So let's talk real quick about Carlos Vela coming back. So Tom Boger did report
that in
the final day of like the roster freeze of Major League Soccer, that LAFC agreed to bring Carlos Vela back. And this is a little bit of like, okay, you know, right before the playoffs, bring in, you know, some.
He's
the Mexican James Rodriguez. Like, where have you been this whole time, dog?
Yeah, I think I think that it's crazy that, I mean, I don't know what happened with that, but it is crazy that one, they kept him, and two, that they kept him. Because I do go, you've been, I really thought that they are trying to get away from him. You're bringing in all these like pretty promising players. You got Giroud, I blanking on the goalkeeper's name, right? But you are, I thought that they were, this season is about let's play without Vela. And then Tom Brixton, he was like, no, he's coming back. I'm like,
nah, he back.
Yeah, it feels a little bit of like, is it a favor?
Did they release like the figures well, or how much? Right. Is like, it a lot? I can't imagine
it's a lot.
Because Carlos Vela wasn't going anywhere else. Like, it would be really hard. He's not going to go back to Spain.
Yeah, no, he was streaming,
right?
Back. What was
he's not going to go
back to Mexico. He's not going to go back to another MLS team.
What's he? He's a Cozumel guy, right?
So he's from Cancun.
He's from Cancun.
Oh, Cancun. I knew it was an island.
And Isla de Mujeres. yeah, so when it's news because I think they brought him back, but at the same time, I'm a little surprised.
Yeah,
why not bring star power back?
Yeah, I thought if they were going to bring him back, I thought it would be much earlier in the season.
He's complicated.
I think it was like a money issue, right? I think he wanted more money.
I think he wanted that DP money, and they were like, no.
Well, that's the thing that I'm going to is like, it might be the first of its kind in MLS where a player that already got you a trophy is not going to come and just milk it for the same club after not having played this whole time. It's going to be a little awkward. I think it's going to be, I'm interested to see how it goes. And I almost feel like you guys probably shouldn't have done this, but Vela doesn't want to go anywhere. He wants
having
to
be, Vela against LA Galaxy, you kind of be like, okay, it's Vela. Like regardless,
I'm just interested because he's been with. So what is he like? Literally, what has he been doing this whole time?
That's the thing. Not playing on them knees, bro. I
basketball?
Mean, he's coming basketball. Back fresh.
I mean, he was vacationing with his family. Yeah, I mean,
he looks like
Instagram.
He's been having a great time.
He looks
like great.
Looks happy.
I think this is a smart signing. You know, he's good. He helped you win a trophy already. This is smart.
But who is he? He's not. He's obviously not going to be starting.
Well, that's the thing. And then, of course, like you sum him on, and it's Vela. How much is he really going to? That's the part that I'm like, how much is he really going to care?
Well, he's not going to track back. Okay, but what if you don't? What if you don't need him?
He never really did that anyway.
Yeah. What if you don't need him to do
that? It's just. It's an interesting move, and it's one that you know we were talking about. Being that they brought Olivier Giroud, Kai Kamara was. Who no one really expected anything much from.
Scoring buckets.
Is doing great. It's almost like, all right, why don't you give Giroud a couple games to get a little set? Watch a pro like Kai Kamara do his thing, and then
let me show you how to score in this league.
But Mateus Bogus has been spectacular, one of the better players in the league.
Incredible.
And which is where Carlos Vela was playing. There's no way. He's not. Christian Oliveira, I think. Is that his name? His first name, Christian? I think it's Christian. I don't remember. But he's been also been great.
Why don't you move Ilya Sanchez back a little bit or move him off to the side and you put him at the 10? Get him close to Giroud. Him and Giroud don't run back. You
Does
know?
It mean he might go back to the national team in Mexico? You know, Javier Aguirre is back.
Oh, wow.
Okay, I love it.
The reboot.
He's coming back. He took 10 years off, 8 years off. Bosco had him in 2010 when they beat the U.S. that 9-0
Amy,
game, whatever
can you
it was.
Believe again? Is that what we're asking?
This is it. Let's come back to her.
I have all my chips on Arsenal, right? That's where my happiness lies.
Nice. So.
All right. The other thing is, Lionel Messi came back to Inter Miami.
Yeah, he's about to show y'all.
He scored 2 goals.
He looking thin, right? He looking like he's in good shape.
Sure. I mean, he's always looking pretty.
It's that Lay's partnership.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Money.
That's all he eats. Bro, I don't know, man. Did he go vegan, bro? He looks, for an Argentinian, probably not.
I mean,
but
he got a nice, he got about 2 months off.
3 months, wasn't it?
Something along those lines.
Right,
right
before the league's cup, right?
Yeah, he got injured.
He took summer off, which is hard to do in a summer league.
He got injured at the final of Copa America. Mm-hmm. We saw him turn his ankle inwards, which it's not usually
it's
how
not
it happens.
To do that.
Scientifically speaking, they don't recommend it. Don't. You know?
And we all saw the balloon that he had in his ankle. But look, Inter Miami have maintained first place in the Supporter Shield.
They're just race. As good without him, which is crazy.
Which is like, yeah, it's kind of wild to say. But having him back, the one interesting thing is Messi is, I think he's on 14 goals. The Golden Boot leader is at 19. There's 8 games left, roughly.
You think that he could take 2.5 to 3 months off and still win the Golden Boot?
Yeah.
That would be hilarious.
I do.
Have you seen MLS defending him?
Okay, you're gonna do that?
Wow.
Hey, I love this league.
As a Galaxy fan.
I love this league.
Okay.
I love this league.
I'm an Everton fan. Good. Have you seen Premier League defending?
Yeah, that's a good point. For now, by the way. Premier League for now.
Okay. No, but I don't think he's gonna win MVP because it feels like
he can.
I mean, it's messy. But he missed so many. He missed what, 13 games, roughly. But
does Apple TV want? That's the
Apple TV wants.
I mean,
we've seen it happen.
I don't know. 8 games and he ends up scoring a goal every game. They might make a, you know, this comeback is amazing.
What a story.
It kind of is, though.
I mean, do you vote in the MLS end of year awards?
No, I do not.
We do. But
they ask us to. Well, they ask us to. I tend to forget. It's very long. It's a lot. Referee of the year. Why am I voting for this?
I don't know. But this is one of those things of like, would you vote for Messi in that scenario? If like, you know, he obviously missed so many games due to injury, but still
it becomes
the
Golden Boot.
Regardless of who it is, Amy, you're never going to vote for Messi. Let's be honest.
Excuse me. Who's the...
Lucho is Lucho up there. He's having an incredible season as well. But
Chicho Arango for a while was. Yeah, he seems to have tapered off.
Lucho won it last year. Mm-hmm. But it would almost feel a little unfair to award Messi.
Nah, if he comes back and still wins the Golden Boot and they win the supporter shield, who cares?
If he comes back and he does that.
And your name is Messi, you're guaranteed to win that.
Sure.
And he's thin.
Yeah, right? And he's vegan now for Argentinian?
The man has it all.
Damn. Dude. You're supposed to have gout by 30 if you're Argentinian.
They won, I think they won 4-2 or 3-1. I don't remember the exact. 3-1, okay. But no, it feels like we're just going to have kind of more of the same. I don't see who is going to be beating Inter Miami. They are coming to Yankee Stadium this weekend, mm-hmm. Which is going to be interesting. Just seeing Messi playing on a baseball diamond. Can't wait. I can't wait. Wow. I mean,
packed house. What?
They have, I mean, obviously, did they make it to the Club World Cup? That big FIFA?
Well, there's a host. They didn't win, but there's a host team. And if they pick anybody but in Miami, I would be floored.
Yeah, some people are saying like that if they win the supporter shield, they should.
We don't know, you're right.
It doesn't matter what they win.
They're also saying
it's like Boca and River. I think somehow one of them got through. I think that they weren't supposed to by winning something like that.
So the some people have suggested that the MLS Cup winner should play the supporter shield winner. And that person will get to be the host team.
It's going
to
happen.
And then just that person's going to face off against whatever Liga MX team wins whatever made-up tournament put together.
Hey, Leon is already one of the teams that's going. So
okay, and then we got to wrap up with this. We're gonna try to do this a little bit more often because there's too many MLS teams, right? As somebody who covers the league, there's too many players. You can't remember everybody. So we're going to try to just dedicate some time to the teams that we don't really talk about often mm-hmm. because they might either be just a little under the radar.
Or in this case, just really bad.
Oh, just really, really bad. Really bad. The radar, they're not under the radar. The radar is literally not even picking them up.
They shut that off. They said, no, we don't need to check where you are. Do whatever you want.
We don't need a radar. We're going to start with the San Jose Earthquakes because producer Carter, I mentioned this.
Who's a Tottenham fan?
Who's a Tottenham fan? And also, he's from California, so he's also
from Northern California. So he is a San Jose Earthquakes fan.
And I'm so sorry, as soon as he said it, he was mentioning it to me, and he was like, should we talk about the San Jose Earthquakes? And then he goes, yeah, we've been bad for a long time. And I said, what is going on?
Speaking French right now, my G?
Don't associate yourself with the San Jose Earthquake. Yeah. That's like, you're not.
You need to do that for our show.
Don't speak that way. And he's like, no, I'm generally a San Jose Earthquakes supporter. And they have been really, really bad. But this year seems to be a little bit more special in why they're so bad. So
special kind of bad.
Yeah. I think it just comes down to that they're going to be historically bad this year. They have 17 points, 28 games into the season. There's 6 regular season games left. They've lost 10 of their last 12. The best they can do if they win all of their last 6 matches it still finished last in the Western Conference.
This is a special note.
Yeah, I hope you guys really make it, dude.
It's all red. Yeah. Like, you know when you see that?
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at them there.
Look at this.
14th place in the Western Conference. Just loss after loss.
Yeah, but where are they in the Supporter Shield race?
Minus 31 goal difference.
Not great. Probably in the same exact spot.
Ooh, last place.
Last place. So they are 10 points behind the last place team in the Eastern Conference. So it's a really, really bad situation. And we were talking a bit about it beforehand, but I didn't even realize this, but the owner of the Oakland A's is the same owner of the Earthquakes.
This is my message before you guys take it away. Please take it away after this, but this is my message to John Fisher. Please do not let the San Jose Earthquakes become the Oakland A's of MLS.
Right.
Either put money into this club and treat it like it's actually something that's worth the fans rooting for, or sell the club, because this is now 6 years of straight up just abysmal play from this club, and Matias Almeida couldn't fix it. You know, no one can fix this club because there's no actual investment in understanding how to create an environment that breeds success. So please sell.
People know this about you. You also rooted for the Monstars. it's just not going to work out for you, dude.
This is and look, admittedly, I watch a couple San Jose Earthquake games here and there, maybe when they play against the Galaxy.
The Cali Classico.
Which is hardly a
Classico California.
I mean, to Carter's point, you know, you have LAFC and LA Galaxy, and everybody just forgets about San Jose, but it is because they're so bad.
Yeah. I mean, as more teams have been.
Although they beat Chivas in the League's Cup, right?
Yeah.
They got one thing. They had, PK shootout, and they beat Chivas?
Sure, yeah. Sure. This is a thing where the last couple years where. I've tried to pay attention here and there, but there's just like almost nothing to be that excited about. They don't necessarily sign any big names. They don't really.
You're not excited about Jackson Yule?
I mean, Jackson Yule played on for the U.S.
Yeah.
You know, the Espinoza has been pretty good throughout the years. Our friend Alfredo Morales was traded from NYCFC there. But this feels a little bit like a team where you send them to it's like a graveyard. You're like, send them to like
this
have
is like
the
that
final.
Team you've never heard of that plays the Harlem Globetrotters. You know
what I mean? the Washington Generals.
The Washington Generals.
And it just, I think this is just a.
This is why you guys need Pro Rel. Oh,
when's the last time they won anything?
Click on the
They won the MLS Cup in 2003, and that's the last time they
won. That can't be the last thing y'all won.
Anything.
I don't think they've won anything since
won anything else. No.
But
no.
I mean,
make the playoffs as well.
Jokes aside, I do think it's one of those teams that because of the way MLS is structured, they don't. There's like like Carter's saying, what is the punishment for being this consistently bad?
Right.
What do you you get to be the butt of the joke? They've been doing that. I think they got used to being the butt of the joke at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I know they had several coaches. They just fired Lucci. Was it this year that they fired Lucci Gonzalez?
They only had relevancy because Almeida went over there. All of a sudden people wanted to talk about them. And then he also helped it out because he was such a like loving and caring coach. And you know, what's his
famous for a big name.
Was it a keeper that learned how to speak
Spanish? Tommy Thompson. He's like a midfielder, fullback.
Get the Duolingo.
Learn Spanish.
They had that relevancy and that talking point. Because of something outside of the field, and then like he tried to make them believe, and he tried to get them to be good enough, but it just wasn't enough.
I think it just shows that there's clearly like an institutional problem. Like Almeida kind of made those comments too, but just about like signing players or MLS rules or blah blah blah. But like San Jose is in a specific scenario where they are by far worse than seemingly one of the worst run teams in Major League Soccer.
Yeah, it seems like they were, you know, from all the accounts, it's like they don't want to spend a lot. And they're they whatever. Want, this is one of the.
They don't
this
want to
is,
spend a lot. They don't want to make a lot. No. Either. Like,
what if we were just? What if no one knew we were here? Then they can't audit us.
Is the fan base also like? Are they supportive? Is it dead at games? Because I mean,
I don't think
are
so.
Are they right? Like diehard Oakland A's fans that are still continuing from
it's
those
not
years?
It's not terrible. I mean, I think there's a. I think there's like a loyalty thing to it where it's we had relevancy about 20 years ago and we're going to keep that hope alive. The most dedicated fan base really in the
world.
Looks
like they won MLS Cup in 2001 and 2003.
That's right. Jimmy Conrad was on that team when they were the Clash.
No, they weren't the Clash.
They were the Clash back then.
2001, they were the Clash?
Yeah. They rebranded when they came back.
2007?
2007.
Wow. So as the Earthquakes, they've not won anything?
They have not.
That team is now the Houston Dynamo.
Yeah, the Houston Dynamo have won something.
Yeah, they have.
So that's still good.
Send that team back. Send that team back.
The Mazatlan of...
the Monarcas? All right, people, Monarcas, bro.
rebranded and here you go.
All right.
They should be the Tiburones.
All right.
RIP better.
Yeah.
Let's
keep an accent, Mexico.
Let's wrap
that city.
This segment up. You guys, because Amy, I know you are working on a bunch of stuff, but I know our football is the new podcast or the rebranding of the podcast. And so do you want to I just want to give you guys an opportunity to just maybe mention or plug anything you guys are working on.
I mean, we were just talking about this before we started recording. Wisa and I have started working a lot more on like the marketing side, but it allows us to kind of take everything that we've learned after all these years working in Mexican soccer and soccer in general and be able to, you know, connect brands with fans and having that as the heart and soul of kind of like our philosophy, which is really cool. So it feels kind of weird to say like, hey, go and follow Think Fuera accounts, but if you want to, it's up to you. But all of that has allowed me and my co-host Eugene and my other co-host Adriana to kind of like bring back our football, which has been really fun, you know, to be able to kind of see that, you know, there is a, that is our boss.
That's what I would look like if I shaved. Interesting.
If you Google.
This does look like me if I shave.
But if you go to Think Fuera Agency is the handle.
I'll find it.
But no, with our football now, you know, we're able to, and it comes at a perfect time for us to rebrand because we've had so many more tournaments coming in the women's soccer game with, you know, different, you know, CONCACAF W Champions Cup is coming up again this week. We had the Summer Cup, which was perfectly timed. So it's fun. It's fun to be able to re-record.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, give you guys your credit because as far as the commitment to not just growing the game, but especially as Latinos and Mexicans and highlighting that. I mean, I've always said that, and I've told you guys a bunch of times, like as far as, you know, getting to learn more about Mexican soccer culture, especially on the men's and women's side, it's like you guys are my resources.
Yeah, especially the culture, which we can watch all the games we want, but the culture is what you might not understand.
The passion.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Everyone has passion,
not the
right?
toxic passion.
That's part of it.
That's stuff. When you bring your kids to games and stuff like that and seeing how happy they are in those moments. Bring your dad to games. I've seen those well. It's absolutely adorable. Adorable family that you got there. All right. Thank you guys for joining us.
Pleasure.
Amy Lopez and Wisa Vasquez, go follow thinkfuera.agency and show some support for, you know, whatever their corporate mergers they have going on.
Think outside the box, everybody.
Shout out to Amy and Wiso for coming through.
Amazing.
All right. All the way.
Amazing guests.
From LA and Phoenix. And
Phoenix. The West Coast, bro.
Yeah. Phoenix. The West Coast.
It's too hot. that counts as the West Coast.
You think so?
Yeah.
Arizona?
Yes.
It's a little.
Exhibits from there, isn't he?
Yep.
That dude, West Coast is hell to me.
He's the barometer
of
the West.
Like if someone from Nevada tries something, but like, bro, exhibit ain't even from your state, dog.
Even though you border that state, he ain't from there.
Actually, he might be a New Mexico guy, but still, y'all count. Same thing.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, all right. Let's.
You know what they got in that area? They got Hatch Chili's. Hatch reminds me of Ashley Hatch, who plays for Washington Spirit.
Who is teammates with Trinity Rodman.
Bro.
Okay. 6 degrees of Rodman.
You feel me?
So who is that?
And she from the West Coast. So that just goes to show you.
And that's who we're talking about right now, because Trinity Rodman.
Segways.
Trinity Rodman just scored an incredible goal.
She did.
This weekend in NWSL. The Spirit were playing against
Houston.
The Houston Dash. And you got to give... look, I'm saying this. I don't even think it's anything that crazy. I don't even think I needed to hit that button. But Trinity Rodman, to me, is currently the face of the NWSL. She is, I think, inarguably the most popular player, and will do what, like, Alex Morgan, as far as a marketing perspective and everything. I think she will be the next Alex Morgan in that capacity. And she's already an incredible footballer, and the skills on the field are incredible. But what she is knowingly doing is like, I understand, I know I'm good at the game already. I'm already schooling.
But how do I be the rising tide that lifts all these damn boats?
Exactly. Okay. Because these other boats are holding me down. Damn. I got to go help them.
Facts. I love that you waited for Alex Morgan to retire for you to say this. And also, like, her locker ain't even cleaned out, bro. And already you what's that called? Anointing?
Anointing, yeah.
You're anointing the next queen of the NWSL.
Because she scored.
But I see you. It's the Sellies, her vibe,
the
dude.
The vibe, everything.
She gets it. She's marketable.
Uh-huh. All right. And she scored an incredible goal that we're taking a look at right now. But she's holding off the defender and then blast the ball. Jane Campbell doesn't even expect a shot to even be coming here.
You can't stop her. Look at her. She does the lay down.
The Selly, she did the night-night, the Steph Curry. Then Leo Messi just did this over the weekend. He did the night-night celebration. And Trinity Rodman takes it to another level, because it wasn't just, oh, I'm out here going to take a little nap, little nappy poo.
She does this while, look at this, she's holding a human backpack. Just won't get off her. Damn.
Great shot.
That's like, you know when, like, your mother told you, like, you got to take your little cousin with you if you're going to go out with your friends? And yeah, you still raise a girl while holding on to your little cousin's hand?
Wow.
You know what I mean?
My man got game.
Damn. That's exactly what she just did. Look at this. She practically held hands with the defender. She said, come here. I'm going to show you what it looks like to do this. Get over here.
I love the celebration, though. This is just great, because this is just taking it to the next level. This is the next. This is the evolution of that celebration.
I would say showman, but that's the wrong one. She's a show person.
Right. Yeah.
She's here for the spotlight. She gets it. She knows what to do.
And there's
speaking of Ashley Hatch, she hit her 50th goal. That was the first goal.
I think
match.
She scored a penalty, right?
Yeah, 50th goal, which is incredible. I think she's the fastest person to do it, or one of the fastest.
Yeah.
I forgot what record she broke, but congratulations to her. 50 goals in NWSL.
So, but no, huge fan. We're huge Trinity Rodman fans, and I think the obviously at the Olympics,
triple espresso, bro.
Triple espresso. Everything has been great, but it's great seeing, you know, even when she was talking about Alex Morgan's retirement, she really spoke very, very highly of her. But you know, we interviewed Trinity when she got early on. So she got drafted at like 18 mm-hmm. or 19 years old. And one of the first things that we were impressed by was just like her maturity and her kind of self-awareness and stuff like that. And she's managing. And so I want this particular celebration. I just sort of asked the question, like, is, because this is a little, you're teetering on disrespect a little bit. By taking,
nah.
You don't think so? By taking a nap?
Nah,
going night.
This is for the spotlight. You know, like, I can't wait for like a Caitlin Clark to develop like, what's the like the three fingers? Something that just goes to show like, this ain't about you. This is about how great I am.
And you don't think the Dash players would be like, all right, this is a little bit much. You don't think so?
What you going to do? Score a goal.
If I was playing.
Score a goal. And then you get the clap back.
If I'm playing EAFC and somebody does the celebration.
That's different.
Why is it different?
Because the video game, it's known that you do the celebrations to delay it, to like. Rub it in their face. Everyone gets to celebrate a goal. You don't know if your knee is going to blow out right after this.
Okay.
You celebrate every goal. I don't care if it's the 14th against Thailand or if it's this one.
I love it. And I think it's good for the game in general.
You know, if you disrespect it by this, score a goal on the Washington Spirit and then you get to celebrate.
Okay. Because it's one of like, is it a little villainous to kind of rub it in this particular way?
Not if you literally helped her score the goal as a defender, you don't get to be offended by this.
Okay, no, but a huge fan of this. Great, great, great moment.
This is massive.
All right, I want to wrap up with this. I'm gonna I've been scrolling on TikTok and been seeing a lot doom scrolling, just wondering how my life got this way, right?
Why do I work with a guy who brings up getting pregnant in space?
I could have taken my career in any other direction.
If you listen to your parents, you'd be driving a bus right now.
But there was a, I just want to make sure, okay, I want to mute this. This came up on TikTok, and it's just kind of a wild moment that I've never really seen in sports, I think, in this kind of scenario. But so we're watching this, and this looks like it's like kind of like a Sunday league game, but
Sunday league-ish.
Pretty well organized. I think it, my guess is it might be in Brazil, but I don't exactly know. The account is Canelada. EC could be Ecuador. I don't know. But look, so goalkeeper is out, hits it, 30, 40 yards, and into an empty net.
It bounced off the crossbar, off the goal line, and bounced out.
And it's just, it's one of those, one of the closest of like an edging video. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's just, I cannot believe that it got this close and did not go in. This is crazy.
This is basically everyone from who went to high school in Salt Lake City is watching this going, I know that feeling. This is the Provo soap of soccer clips.
Unbelievable.
This is like, look, your father, this technically we didn't do nothing wrong. Bro, the net didn't even move.
As I was watching, as soon as he hit the ball, I was like, oh, this is going to be a goal from, from the other side of the field.
If only there was a bunch of other dudes from Salt Lake shaking the goal. Maybe then.
Yeah. And then as soon as it started going in slow-mo, I'm like, oh, this may not go in. This is brutal. And then for it to not go in this particular way is even more tragic. This is like one of the most difficult videos to watch because it hurts. Because we all know that this, we've all seen them go in.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just like, oh, it's like a comforting. It's one of those videos that are like sort of like aesthetically pleasing to sort of watch. I forgot what they're called.
I like when like things fit in other things.
Right, right.
Those are,
right.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's how you in get pregnant case. In space, yeah, yeah, folks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Damn.
And then this is another one. This is the last one, and then we'll wrap up. This is a video. What seeming like this was posted by Puberty Sports.
Mm.
Not puberty, puberty. And this, I don't know where this is. I don't know what country. And it was reposted by somebody, Joselu21. And this is a video of a bunch of guys playing barefoot.
In what looks like a cow pasture.
That is a cow pasture that cows are on.
Yeah.
They're playing in a cow pasture and cows are running alongside them. And
some of the cows are like not really involved. And we're like, okay, there's one who's got my body shape.
Not a cow, that's a human.
Yeah, that's a human.
this is unbelievably dangerous because the cows could run you over. And
they're not bulls, are they? These look like cows, but the cows typically don't have the hump in the back. But these aren't like horned bulls.
Right, right. They just look like...
They're very athletic cows if they are cows.
I mean, the absolute units, these cows.
No, if you're running up on the fence, these got to be bulls.
Yeah.
Whatever this is, it's really dumb. This is bad for your ankles. This is bad for just, as a health hazard.
Oh, but look, I love how he megged the cow.
Oh.
So, but this is, would you ever do something?
You know the answer to this.
How much money, there has to be a price. How much money would you need to participate in a game like this?
There's got to be like 50K at minimum.
That's it?
Yeah, you give me 50K, I'll at least go in there for a minute. You give me $100,000, I'll stay in there until a goal is scored.
Wow. Okay. I mean, yeah, for me, I I'm not doing this for less than 100 just to like, just to step on the pitch. I mean, because
what pitch? It's a bunch of it's a bunch of dirt and poop
on the patch. My bad.
Yeah. On the patch for sure.
But this is one of the most psychotic things I ever. But this is one of those videos where you're like, just guys being dudes.
Yeah,
you know
yeah,
what I mean. Men, only men could think of this.
This is why the average lifespan of a man is 10 years younger. These guys, guys like this, throw off our average.
We gamble with a couple years of our lives.
There's not one woman seen throughout this video. Not in the stands. Not in there.
They don't even want to watch.
No.
So absolutely ridiculous. Never seen anything like this. And you know, we've seen at the World Cup. We saw the dancing. Remember the like it was like a ballet and they were playing. It was like soccer ballet.
Oh, that was like old school though. That video's been around for forever.
No, that was during when the World Cup was in France, right? The Women's World Cup.
No, that video's been around forever.
Oh, I don't know. I thought that was recent, but I guess
no. I'm telling you, I've seen it for years.
So wild. Footy on the internet is pretty crazy. Okay, but they're trying to find ways. MLS. Did the run-up penalties, and some other countries do this.
Yeah, well, good luck with that.
All right, let's wrap up there, everybody. Thank you again for tuning in. Again, shout out to Amelia and Wiso for joining us on the show, talking some tráfico banter. And we'll be back on Thursday. I had mentioned last week that we were supposed to have a different guest.
Yes.
And that guest will be on the next Monday.
Next so just, week.
Just, I know some people
keep were
expecting some love undercover stuff, but that'll be on the 23rd, next Monday. So make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooligans on all socials. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube as well. I will be back on Thursday with another exciting episode, especially because the UEFA Champions League returns.
3 days this week.
So
that's right. You're going to be watching it tomorrow, Wednesday, and then Thursday after you listen to us.
You doing anything different or fun at CBS?
Not a damn thing.
Just covering. All right.
I do my job. I'm going to let them do their job. I don't need to be on TV 5 days straight for 2 different shows. No, thank you.
All right. So we'll see you on Thursday, everybody. Peace.
Love you guys.